The Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If there's a list of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ that are most misunderstood or not known, then this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ must be near the top of that list. A lot of people know John 3:16 in the same chapter. I reckon a lot of people, if they know a little bit about the Bible, would know that verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life." But just a few verses before that, Jesus says something emphatically in verse 3. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And I want to suggest to you that many people either don't know that or don't understand it. Many people who are in churches today don't understand that. And so it's imperative that we look at this morning. This important truth of what's called regeneration is not known by many people who claim to be Christians. There are people across the world today who are claiming to be Christians and they're not born again. And this was true in the Lord Jesus Christ's day. Nicodemus, who is called in this text a ruler of Israel, a teacher of Israel, did not know about this new birth. He wouldn't have been able to explain it, even as a teacher. Now, why was this the case? Is this because Jesus was coming onto the scene as someone bringing entirely new material that people in Israel did not know? Is that why Nicodemus did not know about the spiritual birth? Well, we know from the passage that that cannot be the case, because Jesus rebukes Nicodemus and says, "If you are a teacher of Israel, how come you do not know about the spiritual rebirth?" The Lord Jesus Christ was not bringing some novel new thing here. He was expressing what had been preached down through the centuries in the Old Testament. And so if Nicodemus doesn't know that, a teacher of Israel, a ruler of Israel, it's perhaps no surprise that the people then and the people now have very little understanding about what being born again actually means. And what we're talking about here is not something that's an intellectual exercise, that it doesn't really matter if we don't know what it means to be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ says that there are severe consequences if we are not born again. He says if you are not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven if you're not born again. That is the consequence of not knowing what it means to be born again. I want to ask you a question this morning, each one of you. Do you want to see the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to find yourself beginning that journey of being a true Christian and finding yourself in heaven at the end of it? Then you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Jesus couldn't be more clear in this passage. So let us consider this important matter this morning under the title, "You Must Be Born Again." First of all, the necessity of the new birth. Then secondly, what is this new birth? Thirdly, how is someone born again? And then fourth, the marks of a born again person. So first of all, the necessity of the new birth. The necessity of the new birth. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that it is absolutely essential for people to be born again if they are to enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 3 again. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless he is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying it is absolutely essential that someone is born again. This is how he, the Lord Jesus Christ, starts this interaction with Nicodemus. He wants to say it is essential that you are born again. Now, someone might say that he was speaking to Nicodemus here only. After all, it was Nicodemus that came to him at night, wasn't it? And it's a personal interaction that has been recorded for us in Scripture. But notice the generalized answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to Nicodemus. He says in verse 3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord didn't say, unless Nicodemus, you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless one is born again, then they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, but he's speaking to us all. He's saying, unless you and I and everyone in the world is born again, they will not see the kingdom of heaven. And look how the Lord further emphasizes that essential truth. If we're in any doubt, he says in verse 3, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, some of you may know that the Lord Jesus Christ here in the original Greek is actually saying that, those words, amen, amen. And when the Lord Jesus Christ does that, he is drawing a particular attention to an important truth that he is making. All the Lord Jesus Christ teaching is important. But when he says, amen, amen, it is as if he is putting an exclamation mark on it, drawing a line under this teaching that you must hear this. Amen, amen. In our translations, it might say something like most assuredly. And so what we're seeing here is Jesus is saying, this is incredibly important. All my teaching is important, but this is the entrance into my teaching. And the question then, why is it so essential? Why is this so essential? Why does Jesus say that this is the case? Why does every man, woman, boy and girl need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God? And why is it impossible for someone who has not been born again to enter the kingdom of God? Well, we have to look at who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God on the one hand, entering into the kingdom of God, and we're dealing with man on the other. The reason why people do not naturally enter into the kingdom of God is because of their sinful nature. Natural man's sinful nature prevents him from entering the kingdom of God. Just think about this for a moment. Do you think that the holy God will let sinners into his presence? Do you think that a threefold holy God will let unrepentant sinners into heaven? Do you think that God, who can't even look on sin, will have fellowship with those that are stubborn, unrepentant sinners? Now, the Bible tells us that he can't even look on wickedness. The Bible tells us that at the judgment day, when we're all judged for what we have done and how we have lived, that unrepentant sinners will be removed from the presence of God. It says in Revelation that the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part, not in heaven, but in the lake of fire, which is the second death. People are kidding themselves if they think that they can just go into the kingdom of heaven in their own standing. It is absolutely ludicrous to think that sinners, unrepentant sinners, can be in the presence of God in their natural state. Now, people find that hard to believe, but that's the truth. People say it's harsh, but that's what the Bible teaches. If they think it's too harsh, what they have done is they have grossly underestimated the holiness of God. They don't know who God is, and therefore they think that he will turn a blind eye to them and let them into the kingdom of heaven. No unrepentant sinner will be in his kingdom. People also find it hard that they are sinners. But that's true also. I don't need to convince you, do I? As we look out into the world, as we read the newspapers, we see in our own communities, there's sin everywhere. There's this prevailing disease that affects everyone. And no amount of education or money can be thrown at the problem to solve it. Sin is prevalent. And sin, if you're not a Christian here this morning, is prevalent in you. There is a disease that you have, and it's called sin. It is universal. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understand. There is none who seeks after God. If we are not born again, we can cover things up from time to time, but behind the scenes, sin will keep churning up from that natural sinful state, will overflow into what we think and what we do and what we say. And that's because we are not reborn. That's because our hearts have not been changed. When we talk about our heart, we're not talking about a physical heart here. We're talking about that very seat and center of our being that dictates everything that we do in life. The center of our being is corrupt if we're not born again. The Bible says the heart of someone that is not born again is desperately wicked. Who can know it? If someone is not reborn, then their heart will affect their whole life. It will affect their desires, their ambitions, their behavior. That heart, if you're not reborn, is absolutely defiled and corrupt. God said to his people through Ezekiel, "How degenerate is your heart, seeing that you do all these things?" The problem in our world today, and in your life and mine, if we're not a Christian, is a problem of the heart. It is a problem of the heart. And we need to be reborn. Now, there'll be someone who says that, as they read this, that this doesn't apply to me. I don't have to be reborn. I'm not exactly that person who I know who's really sinful. I might have even grown up in a Christian family and been baptized and know parts of the Bible. That is not enough. That is not enough. It wasn't enough for Nicodemus, was it? Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was someone who knew his Bible well. But it wasn't enough for him. And Jesus said to him, "You need to be born again." You see, we all need to be born again, no matter who we are, no matter what background we have. If we remain in our natural state of sin with that corrupt heart, then we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, if it's so essential to be born again, and it is, then what exactly is this new birth? What exactly is this new birth, secondly? The new birth, if you don't know what it is the most radical change that can happen to someone. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ uses that expression in the first place, born again. It's as if that original life has stopped. It has ceased to be. And that new life has begun. That person's identity is completely changed. He is no longer that person. He has been born again. And that's all because new birth brings radical change. Now, it's important to stress from the outset, this is not some sort of outward change. Whether that is outward change that is mere physical changes or some behavioural changes, everyone is capable of doing those things. So it's not the case that a born-again individual is someone that merely begins to look after their body a bit better, starts to dress a certain way. Nor is it even that they start to curb their behavior and start to smarten up their acts and start coming to church and start reading their Bible That is not what new birth is. These things are good. I'm not saying that they're not. But that is not rebirth. Because there are plenty of people who dress well and attend church and even teach lessons from the Bibles at university that are not born again. The new birth is not mere outward changes, how people dress or what they do or do not do. It might touch on those things, but it's not the essence of the new birth. The new birth is radical inward change. The new birth brings inward change. And that's because the new birth is spiritual change. The new birth is a spiritual new birth. The Lord says in verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The new birth is spiritual in nature. And because of that, it will bring radical inward change. And the Holy Spirit brings this radical inward change in two ways. If this hasn't happened to you, then you're not a Christian. The first change that it brings is a purifying change. When someone is born again, they are made clean inwardly. Their soul is cleansed. They are purified inwardly from the defilement of sin. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ likens the Holy Spirit's cleansing work to water in verse 5. Do you see that? And that's because the Holy Spirit's cleansing work is like water cleansing something that is really dirty. I think even a child can understand that. Think of something that's really dirty and you've washed it clean with water. And the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us that when the Holy Spirit works, it is like water inwardly cleaning filthy sinners. The Lord through Ezekiel taught this incredible truth in Ezekiel 36. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness." The Apostle Paul writes in Titus, he speaks of the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is the first way in which the new birth brings radical inward change to an individual. It is purification. Isn't that amazing? The second and simultaneous aspect of the Holy Spirit in regeneration is renovation. There's purification and there's renovation. And in this act of regeneration, the Holy Spirit renovates the entire nature of an individual. The Holy Spirit transforms the whole inner man. Again, it's not outward things. It's inward change. He changes their heart. That seat and center of his being is replaced. The Bible says in Ezekiel, it's like the taking away of a stony heart and the giving of a heart of flesh. That heart which hated God is replaced. That heart that lived for self is replaced. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, changing the very seat and center of someone's being, that his will, that his affections, that his behavior are transformed in an instant. Not totally, but radically. And they're on the course for change to come. When the Holy Spirit does his work of generation, he purifies and he renovates. And this spiritual renovation is so radical that the born-again individual is described in the Bible as having new life, as being a new creature, as being a new man. The Apostle Paul writes, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." This is what the Holy Spirit does. He purifies the soul, and he renovates the soul. All in an instant. We are not talking about a work, an ongoing work or a process that the Holy Spirit does in regeneration. It is instant, simultaneously purifying and renovating the soul. And the question we must ask then, thirdly, is how is someone born again? How is someone born again? This is essentially what Nicodemus asks in verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in verse 6 what the new birth is, when he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Someone is born again when God, and God alone, changes that person. They need to be born of the Spirit. God alone is the source and author of regeneration. Just as God breathed natural life into the first man, Adam, so likewise God alone breathes spiritual life into those that he makes born again. Just as Adam played no active role in his birth, just as we play no active role in our birth, so we play no active role in our new birth. We are passive in that whole experience. If there is to be new birth, then God has initiated it. Natural man cannot cause himself or any others to be born again. The Bible tells us that natural man is spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life in him at all. He will not do anything spiritual when he is spiritually dead. The Bible tells us that natural man is at enmity with God. If anyone is born again, therefore, it is because of God's doing, not because of us. John writes in John chapter 1, "As many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, but born of God." You're born of God. If anyone is to be born again, it's because God has done it. They are born of God. The amazing thing is that rather than send us all to hell like we deserve, God graciously chooses some. God graciously causes some to be born again. God graciously causes the soul of some to be purified and to be renovated. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." He will do it, and yet he will bring this wonderful thing about. He will bring that wonderful new birth about if he decides to do it. In the passing, I want to say something important, particularly in our own day when people are essentially saying what they want in a pulpit. God usually uses the same means to regenerate someone. When he's causing someone to be born again, it is usually in using the same means. And that is the reading, but especially the preaching of the word. Yes, there are occasions where people are born again outside of that. But it is primarily through the reading and especially the preaching that people are regenerated. God, in his purposes, has decided to do that. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, that people are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives forever. That's just something in passing, but it's important. As you're hearing all these things, you will have probably a range of thoughts and emotions. But we have to say that God's ways and his works of regeneration are mysterious. We cannot go into the mind of God. That's why he gives us this illustration of the wind, that it blows where it wishes. God sovereignly chooses who he chooses. And we have to leave it there. God is God, after all. He chooses who he pleases. But I don't want to finish there, because some of you may also have questions about your own standing before God. Can I know that I'm born again? That's an important question to ask, isn't it? Because of the consequences being so severe for not born again. And so I want to ask the question at the end. What are the marks of someone who is born again? Can I know that I am born again? Well, the Bible tells us that we can look out for some things that will be found in a born-again person. After all, the Lord says in verse 8, John chapter 3 and verse 8, that we will be able to see the effects of the wind. Now, I don't know if you know, boys and girls, when you're looking at this windy time of year and you see the branches moving, you don't see the wind, but you see the effects of it. And this is what Jesus is saying. If someone is born again, there will be effects in his life. There will be effects if he has been affected by the Holy Spirit's work. And the first fruit of a born-again person is that they will repent and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone is born again, they will be repenting of their sin and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ goes on to talk about believing in him, in that very famous verse, John 3, verse 16, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And alongside that, one of the first things that Jesus taught was repent. If someone is born again, they will be repenting and putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the, as it were, the first fruit of being a born-again person. The second thing that they will begin to exhibit are behavioural traits of a Christian. Their behaviour will be different. The Bible tells us that, first of all, those that are born again will love their fellow Christians. 1 John says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you're soberly assessing your life and you're saying, I love the brothers, the brethren, sisters, that is a good sign that you're born again. If you don't love them, then that's a concern for you. The Bible is emphatic. If you love, then you're a child of God. So they will repent and have faith. They will love. And then finally, they will also live righteously. 1 John again says this, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, what John is not saying there is that a born-again Christian will be sinless. But what he is saying is there will be a whole new orientation to that person's life. That as he sins, he'll be repenting quickly. that the whole habit of his character has changed, that he is no longer practicing sin for a long time. If someone is living in sin continually with no concern about that, there is a great question mark over their soul. And probably he's not a Christian. A born-again person will be different, radically different to those that are not born again. They are born of God. They are children of God. They will act differently. And not to put the cart before the horse, is that the expression? There are some people who try to clean themselves up, show themselves to be loving, dress a certain way. That is not what born again is. Born again is inward change that no one can deny. That you find yourself loving the brothers and sisters. That you find yourself living righteously. That you suddenly hate sin. You don't want any more of it. And you're living for his glory rather than your own. When someone is born again, there is radical inward change. Not as much as it should be that we hope for, but they are different. The old is gone, the new has come. They are a new creation. And so I want to finish with a question. Honestly ask yourself this question. Am I reborn? Am I spiritually reborn? Am I a child of God? Has God done that work in me? If not, pray that he would. Pray that he would give what he commands. He commands people to repent and believe. He commands them to be born again. And we pray that he would do such amongst us, that we may find ourselves entering the kingdom of God. Amen.